Welcome. My name is Susan Daffron, and I'm the president of Logical Expressions, Inc., which is a book and software publishing company based in Idaho. I'm also the president of the Small Publishers, Artists, and Writers Network, otherwise known as SPAWN. So thanks for joining us today. Today we're talking to Hobie Hobart about book covers. The title today is You Have 10 Seconds to Sell Your Book. Use the Power of Your Book Cover to Launch Your Business Empire. That's a pretty tall order here. So first off, I'd like to tell everybody a little bit about Hobie. And Hobie is the partner project manager and senior book coach for Dunn & Associates Design. And the name comes from Kathy Dunn, who's the president and senior designer. And Dunn & Associates has designed hundreds of book covers, including numerous bestsellers, and has helped speakers, authors, and experts open doors, accelerate their careers, and expand their brands. Their client list is really impressive here, and it includes top authors and speakers such as Tony Robbins, Ken Blanchard, Mark Victor Hansen, Deepak Chopra, Sylvia Brown, and Dottie Walters, as well as publishers like HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, Prentice Hall, Ballantine, Hay House, Pearson Education, and Bantam, and a host of other high-level self-publishers. So welcome, Hobie. It sounds like you pretty much worked with everybody. So I'm delighted to have
everybody.
You here.
Yeah, hi, Susan. It's great to be here.
So for those who are listening later, there is a handout that goes with this, which is going to be on the same page as the audio recording. So make sure you download the PDF file because it has examples. And since this is about design, it's very helpful to see what we're looking at as we go through the call. So with that said, I'm going to let you kind of take it away here, Hobie.
Okay, well, thanks. And, yes, I would totally encourage everybody to download that file. This is going to make much more sense for you if you can see what I'm referring to. We have a lot of book cover samples. One of the things I'm going to be talking about today is what we call the extreme makeovers. And we show you a cover that came to us for any number of reasons, and then what we were able to do with that cover to make it more of a viable book. So I'm going to be jumping around maybe a little bit, too, through the pages as we go. But for the most part, those visuals there will be very helpful. So if you haven't done that, please do so. I assume it's right there on your website, right?
Yeah, basically members need to log in with their username and password, and it's on the same page that the audio recording is on. So you just click the teleseminars link and it's in the page that that references this teleseminar.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, first of all, as you said, the title of the topic today is You Have 10 Seconds to Sell Your Book. And I'm sure there are some people going, yeah, what in the world does that mean? But it is really true, and I'm going to prove that to you here in just a moment. But one of the first things I want to do is everybody should be aware right now and probably has heard at whatever level that publishing these days is changing minute by minute. And I wanted to just share a couple of things that show us how much it's changing. By last week on, I think it was Wednesday, Publishers Weekly put out a little article, and they had some statistics about the numbers of books that were published last year. And if you remember, the year before, or a couple years ago, too, there were maybe 500,000 books or so that mm-hmm. have been published annually. And last week, according to Bowker's statistics, there were over 1 million books published last year. So in 2 years, we've doubled the output for the number of books that are on the marketplace. And they say, actually use the word staggering 764,448 titles were produced by self-publishers and micro-niche publishers. So the vast majority of those books came from self-publishers and smaller folks. And then traditional books, actually, about almost 300,000 of those, but that's down a little bit from 2008. So the total output is 87% higher than it was, given all the statistics and the way they figure it out. So number one, if you look at page two on this PDF, it says, who says you can't judge a book by its cover? Number one on there, the point I just made, there was over a million new books published last year. And of any book that's out there, if you submit it to one of the larger publishers or a medium-sized publisher, the average is that they accept 2 or 3% of their submissions that they get annually. And so
that's 2 to 3% if you're doing the book proposal route,
yes.
Right? So that's how many book proposals are accepted?
Yeah, and most of that, if you take the statistic I just said, if it's traditional books, those are the ones that agents and larger publishers are really involved in. It's not micro-niche publishing,
mm-hmm.
and it's not self-publishing. So take 280,000 books, let's say, and you take 2% of that, you're talking about 4,000 or 5,000 books that go through that system. And then, of course, the number of books that actually make it on the bestseller list is even way, way less than that, maybe 2% of all those books. So competition for attention within the book world is huge and growing and growing and growing and growing. And not everybody goes into bookstores and so on, but if you write a book and you're wanting it to be out there in the marketplace, this third one on the list here, bookstore distributors or distributors, they are expanding now to beyond just regular bookstores. They can help you get your books in a lot of different ways, especially with the e-books and all the readers. And now that the iPad is out, mm-hmm. people are flocking to get their books listed in that way as well. So distributors don't just go to a brick-and-mortar bookstore nowadays. They're expanding. But most of the time, as it says there, when they take a book from a publisher and they go to sell it out there, depending on who they're selling it to get it listed, they don't take those books with them when they talk to somebody. And they never really have for a long, long time. I talked to a guy who was in the publishing industry for 20 years or so, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and he used to take a box of books with him, and he'd go into a bookseller, and he'd sit down, and he'd pull the books out, and they would look at him, and he'd say, well, now, this book, and the person would cut him off, he said, and say, you know, I don't need to know what this book is about. Just lay them on the table. And they would look at that, and within a few seconds, he would look at the book, and he'd say, I'll take that one, that one, that one, and that one, and you put the rest back in your box. And that's all they did, was look at the cover and make a decision whether or not they were going to carry them.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that people realize when you're writing a book, you put your heart and soul in there, and maybe it's several years that you work on your book, and you do the research and everything, and then you go to put it out into the marketplace. Virtually nobody in the marketplace is going to know that what's in the book at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's once the readers get there. I mean, the internet is changing this a little bit, where content is a lot more in the forefront. But the way the industry still works, for the most part, is that the first thing that happens is when somebody looks at the outside of the book, they are either attracted to it or not. And so the next thing on the list here, it says statistics indicate, and they've done studies on this for years, that if a person is in a bookstore, which is analogous to seeing the book, however you would see it, even on a website,
mm-hmm.
like you go to Amazon, for example, or Barnes & Noble online, you see thumbnails. That's the cover. That's what they show you. And statistics show that within 8 seconds or so on the front cover, that's how long a browser will look at a book. And then if that attracts them to the point where they want to know more, they go to the back cover and they look for up to 15 seconds. And then they decide, okay, I need to know more about this, or I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so you add those up and it comes to 20-some seconds. But the I call it the title of this, 10 Seconds to Sell Your Book, because, and that's a little bit generous, actually, because that's how long they look at the front cover. And actually, I talked to an agent who is one of the more well-known, respected ones in the country, John Willig. He's from out east, and he said their agency has a three-second rule. And if they look at a cover and they aren't moved somehow by it to be attracted to it, they're likely to pass on it. So it can go down to 3 seconds even. But over the years, that's all the time you have to get somebody to be interested in your book. And then the bottom one I think is very telling as well. The people who do sell books, whether it's online or whether it's in a brick-and-mortar store, 75% of them say that the cover is the most important thing about the book as far as being able to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how many people out there, myself included, I know Kathy too, buy wine by the way the label looks.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know anything about it, you go look at it and you just go, well, that's interesting. I really like that. So that's why wine labels are the way they are. But book covers are exactly like that. If the book cover is crafted in such a way that your chosen market will respond to it, then you got something very special going on. So if you go to page 3, it's a list of things there that sort of prove this point. And all of these, you'll hear many, many, many people say that this is what a book will do for you. And it can position you as a leader, leading expert in your field. And you think about a couple of people like Susie Orman, for example. Tons of books out there, but one of the things that's propelled her to where she is she wrote a book, then she wrote another book, and she's one of the leading experts in her field. Robert Kiyosaki for Rich Dad Poor Dad, same thing. He wasn't really known at all, but he wrote his first book, and it really got out there and got caught on. He's a leading expert.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about credibility, I'm going to talk about a book here in a little bit. It's on page 20 and 21. We're not going to go there right now, but credibility factor, I'll explain that more later. But then the next one, you know, attract your target audience. And a master, two masters at that are Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield with Chicken Soup. They identified and determine how to attract their market through one of the big factors was the title, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then expanded that, of course, into, I think it's like 150 books or something now. There are over 100 million books that they've sold. And they've taken that connection to the market and made it so powerful that it's the highest selling book series of all time. They can also then, though, set you apart that way with an instantly recognizable brand that starts with your book. Great example of that is the Dummy series.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It's black and yellow, and that such and such for dummies, or the dummy book of, you know, that kind of thing. Chicken Soup is another great example. So building a brand that sets you apart can start with the book, and you take the words from the book cover. You can take images from the book cover, the colors, the type styles. Every time you see Chicken Soup, for example, it always looks the same.
Yeah.
So being consistent with elements like that, that you start with your first book, which I call, it's like the source book.
Mm-hmm.
Everything can spin from that, and we'll talk more about that kind of thing in a little bit too. But then the next thing on the list I already talked about a little bit is getting the attention of a publisher or a distributor. That's what a book will do for you, especially if it's crafted in the right way. It'll also, if you're a speaker or you're a consultant or you're a coach or something like that, that side of your business is what you're focused on. If you write a book, it will also then bring credibility. It will establish you as an expert. And if you do it right, again, you'll have a brand that these people will relate to. Therefore, you'll get more more business and higher paying business because you are seen as an expert because you have a book. And then, of course, the last one on there, products, that's, again, Chicken Soup is a great example. Or if you take Jack Canfield by himself with the Success Principles, he's now got a coaching program based on that book. He's got seminars that he does based on that book. He's got the book itself. He's got CD versions, audio versions, all kinds of things that came from that one book that he has now got out to the marketplace. So think about it. For example, most people are visual. 75%, they say, of people are pretty visual. That's their dominant way of dealing with the world. But there is another 20-some percent that are auditory. So having an audiobook version of your printed book that is visual and tactile that a person can read, or it's on a reader format, or it's an e-book, you want to have those different versions of your material so people who learn in different ways or want to access information in different ways can access your stuff. So all of that comes from a book and can stem from a book itself. So then you go to page 4. I mentioned Mark Victor Hansen. This is a quote that we found that Mark was talking about at one of his mega events. He says, if you want to claim all the success, fame, and wealth that's rightfully yours, your book can and should be the foundation of a publishing empire that encompasses everything from audio programs to seminars to merchandise and more. And, of course, we all have to choose what it is we want in life. But if that's what you want, a book is the way to get there. And if Mark and Jack have sold more books than almost anybody else ever in history, I think we should probably take their advice.
Yeah, really.
So what I want to do next is on page 5, you see a cover that we designed. And I'm going to use this as sort of a template about what are, you know, if you're going to use a book to build a business, how do you know if your book is good enough to do that? If it is made and crafted in the right way in order to support a big business. So you start with knowing exactly what are the elements that are needed on a book cover. So that's what I'm going to do real quickly here. Fast Feng Shui, and you can see there that's the title. And if you don't know feng shui, it's a way of managing the energy in your life or in your house or whatever, about by where you place things, the objects you have around you, the way you deal with clutter. So basically, it says 9 simple principles for transforming your life by energizing your home. And so it's a very simple process in some ways. So the cover needed to be very simple. And the first thing is the inside of the book needs to be represented on the cover so that the people that you're trying to reach know or have a sense of what's going on in this book. And like I said before, it has to happen within just a few seconds. So number one, you have to have a great title or a very informative title. So in this case, Fast Feng Shui is there, and I read the subtitle as well. Those two things together, there's a relationship between the title and the subtitles, and now we're talking nonfiction right now. Mm-hmm. The same thing holds true, though, of fiction and plenty of other genres, is that you have to give a message to your market that's understandable and accessible to them. So in this particular case, any case, a title is, and we use a formula that Jillian Manis talks about, and she's also an agent and a high-powered one. She works with the Chicken Soup guys and with Mark and Jack and is good friends with them. But she says that a title is an emotional message. She calls it a heart message. So that when somebody reads it and they see it, they react emotionally to that. it doesn't really matter what the reaction is, I think, whether somebody gets mad or they really feel like they're reading something meant for them personally, if it makes them happy or they're confused. That doesn't really matter, but the words you choose should get some sort of an emotional reaction from somebody. So in this case, if you're looking at fast feng shui, you probably either know or don't know about feng shui. So hopefully she's chosen a market of people who do understand it. If they don't, the subtitle is going to help with that. But when it says fast feng shui, that means you can make these changes that they refer to in the subtitle quickly. And you do it, we put the emphasis on the F you see in fast there in this design to give a sense of movement. So that letter, and it's italicized, the rest of the letters are not. So playing with the typography is a design function, but we're trying to get the emotional response that this is a process that you can do and it happens quickly. The other thing that's on there is a little bar right above that. It says Fast Feng Shui Series, and that's to indicate that this is only one book of many. So that's a little subliminal thing to them to say, okay, there's more going on than just this book. This is like I could get more information if I wanted it. So it's helping them think about maybe accessing more of what you have to offer. And then the subtitle is what she calls a head message, which is more rational in what it says. And it delivers, here's what you're going to get from the book, is what the subtitle should answer that question. And like I said, it says 9 simple principles for transforming your life by energizing your home. So you'd go fast feng shui, that's how it's going to happen. And then inside, they're going to teach me 9 things that I can do that'll make this happen for me. So the person who's reading it, if they are interested in energizing their home or transforming their life, and they know a little bit about feng shui, chances are they're going to say, okay, this book is interesting to me. I want to know more. And they either pick it up or whatever. And then I want to talk before we go to what happens next to a person when they feel that way, is that on the right-hand side there, you see there's a photo. And it's chosen specifically because it demonstrates the simple concept that feng shui is a very simple thing that puts something in front of you, in this case, that is soothing and comfortable looking. It looks sort of artistic, is not messy. That's what feng shui is all about. Mm-hmm. Purposeful placement and use of items and things inside your home in certain spots. So, that was put there because of the feeling of the photo, and then we're going for emotion, like I said. So that and the title go together, and then when you look at the apples that are in the bowl, the color of the apples was chosen to be the top half of that book. And if you look really closely, the bottom half, it looks like kind of a texture there. That's part of the curtain from across the window. If you look up there, the upper part of the photo, you can see that was taken and used in the bottom part of the book. So you've got this whole synergy going on of all the elements of design to get that reaction that this is interesting to me. So if you go to the next page, you'll see what happens then with the rest of the book. And after you get that initial reaction, most of the time people turn a book over and they look at the back. And if you look at books, nonfiction books again especially, you'll see there are very specific list of things that happen on the back of a nonfiction book for the most part. There's the exception to this would be if there's somebody really famous. A lot of times you see on the back of a book, people know them already, have a sense of them. There's testimonials. There might be just a big list of them or something on the back. But for most books, here's what happens. In the upper left-hand corner of a soft cover book, you'll see what they call the category. And that's if this were to go in a bookstore or a library, that's the designator that's used on where they would put that on a shelf in a store or a library. Or if you go online, they say you go books, Do you want children's books? Do you want business books? Do you want self-help books? That kind of thing. That's where it helps people find your book. They might even go in and search for feng shui, or they might go in and search for, bookkeeping help or something like that. And whatever goes there helps them find the book. We've repeated the Fast Feng Shui series thing on the top to kind of give them a little shot again that this is not the only product available here. And then right under that, the thing you see mostly is a headline. Sometimes you might see a question right there. And in this case, it says Learn Feng Shui the Easy Way. And so on the front, Fast Feng Shui, here's some things you're going to learn. And it goes, you can learn this and it's easy. So that is the next thought you want that reader to have. So you take the title, the subtitle, and the way the front cover looks, you give them a feeling, and they get some thought going, especially because they read the subtitle after they look at the title. The next thought you want them to have is that headline on the back. Not only is this fast, not only are you going to learn something, it'll be easy. So we're leading their mind on a little journey. And then, most often, you will see a little short paragraph of two or three sentences. And in this one, again, it takes the thought pattern to the next step. And we repeated the F from the front for fast to keep it into the dialogue there. But it just says, Feng Shui takes the mystery out of how to change your life. Da, 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 da. The principles are easy. And working with your own style, then you'll discover. So it's taking away their objections pretty much when you read something like that. You know, it takes the mystery out of it. This isn't going to be complicated. It is going to be easy, and you can work with your own style. And in the process, you will discover power spots, how to shift your energy, how to attract money, romance, and opportunities, improve cash flow, make your changes more effective, and then use feng shui as a path for personal growth. Those are all direct benefits that the reader can experience and discover and learn from reading this book. And then there's the circle down at the bottom, made red because this is extra information, that this includes 108 quick tips, 180 affirmations, visualizations for empowering and activating your feng shui changes. And then also on most books, right under that, you would either see testimonials, which they are not on this book, but you see an author bio. In this particular case, we chose to put the author photo and her bio as a separate bar off to the right of the back. A lot of times, you would see it right under the bullet points. But we put it there basically because we had this extra circle in red down there of information that they wanted to put on the back. And then below that, there is the Lotus Pond Press, which is a publisher logo, and the price. And there it says, for more tips and information, you go to fastfengshui.com. So that's a way to get more information. It's a way to buy the other products by going to a website. And then a required element in the bottom right is the barcode that goes on, should go on every book, especially if you're going to try and sell it out there through the avenues in the book world. Sometimes books don't need an ISBN or a barcode if you're selling them to very specific sales markets. But we encourage people to use a barcode and get an ISBN because I'm going to tell you in just a moment here a couple of examples. You never know who's going to see your book or who's going to want to have it to sell to other people and be interested in it. So be ready to go into the publishing world just in case. It's the expense of that is so low that it's totally worth it. And then the other thing I want to mention, you see on the right-hand side of this page is the spine. And this is so overlooked sometimes by people because if you go in a bookstore, how many times or how many books in the bookstore do you see that are displayed face out so you see the front cover? Most of them are not. They're on a shelf and all you see is the spine. So your spine then actually becomes your cover So you have to really, really think about the spine and how it's done in order to be able to get attention from somebody. So in this case, on the spine, you see we took the same green and we took white for the author's name, have that beautiful publisher logo at the bottom, which is just is the norm. That's where the publisher information goes. At the very top of the spine, you see we repeated that picture that was on the front cover. So you get somewhat of a sense of the book, and by having the title really big like that, identifies feng shui, identifies that it's fast, it gives a feeling by looking at that photo at the top. And I heard Dan Pointer say one time, the self-publishing guru, he said, if you go in a bookstore, the best thing you can do for an author friend of yours is to take one of their books and put it face out on a shelf if you see it there.
Yeah, really.
And it's not face out. So if you go to the next page, you'll see what some of the series books look like in this particular series. And so once we were talking about establishing a brand look for yourself, Fast Feng Shui does that, and because it's fast. But then this author took that basic information and said, okay, what if you're single, living by yourself? Or what if you want to do something in your house to generate more wealth and income and the flow, cash flow for yourself? This particular philosophy and ways of dealing with your home have things that you can do in regards to things like that. So each one of these, very distinct from the first book, but obviously by the way they're designed, they belong together. You can see that. And so it becomes a series of books. You line them all up on the shelf, and they're going to have that spine that's very unique, but the design format basically is the same. The fonts are the same. We change the colors and change the image to make it work. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a quick primer about what's going on with a book. Now, if you go to the next page, number 8, this is one of my favorites, and this is the first extreme makeover that we're going to talk about here. And the one on the left is the book that we got from this author, and he said, I got a book, and it's not selling, and I need help. What should I do? So if you look at that, the title, Adultery Facing Its Reality, it's a second edition, actually, but then it's got his name, William F. Mitchell, Jr., private investigator. And so the illustration and all of that, that's what he came to us with. So we started asking questions, so what is this book about? Because when you look at it, I would guess most people, when they look at that, think it's a novel because of the illustration.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's
what it looked like.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and this is, you'd find this in on the bottom shelf in a Walmart or a Costco or something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, or maybe in a bargain bin, you know. And so the more we talked to him about it, and he said, I am an investigator, but my goal is to talk about this issue in relationships in order to help people fix their relationship. It's not about I'm going to get the goods on somebody. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, really? Because that's certainly not what you get when you look at that for 8 or 10 seconds. You think like, wow, this is heavy. You know what I mean? The one eye on the guy's hat and just, oh my gosh. So the more we talked to him, we figured out that this is what this book is really about. He's trying to help people deal with relationships, and he support them in that. And so the more we learned about it, it became the more you know. We have writers that we work with, and they came up with this title, given all that new information, The More You Know. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle is Getting the Evidence and Support You Need to Investigate a Troubled Relationship. And so then there's other things on this cover that are going on, too, that really helped him. But I want to show you a couple of things. Number one, I hope everybody who sees this sees the difference in the energy from one to the next. Mm-hmm. You know, the second one with him, he's got a smile. He's very open. He's very approachable looking. And the more you know, the two O's in there are wedding rings, and done purposefully because it's about relationships. changed his name from William F. Mitchell Jr. to Bill Mitchell, which is more accessible. And then I think one of the coolest things that Kathy did on this one is if you look at it where you see the more you know on the left, that's actually the spine of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So if you imagine where the fold would be, that eye, his right eye, is centered on the spine.
Yeah.
So if it's sitting on the shelf, spine out, you see somebody looking at you right there. And that's a symbol, an eye is going to draw somebody immediately. And then it says, the more you know. So this really worked well. And at the top of this, it says, as seen on Oprah, Dr. Phil, The Today Show, and The Early Show. And this was an initial cover that we did for him to send out to producers of shows and so on. And he was doing it kind of like the secret, you know, this envisioning what you want before it happens.
Yeah.
And this book cover, actually, when we finally printed it, it didn't have that on the top. It had what's down at the bottom, ideal for individuals, investigators, attorneys, clergy, and counselors. So that it's called a blurb. That little blurb directed people, if I'm one of these people in this group, then I'm in the market. But he actually got himself a slot on the Dr. Phil show because of this cover. And he sent it to them saying, this is me, this is what I do, blah, 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 here's my book. And they chose him. And I think the cover had a big factor in that.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, the title and subtitle working together, and then the imagery supporting the feeling and the understanding within a few seconds. That is the whole key to having a book that can become a bestseller.
Well, here's a question I have on a book like this, and I know that some of the other makeovers you did, when you actually change the title, and I guess this was self-published, right? So
yes.
So he had an ISBN, presumably, for Adultery
mm-hmm.
Facing the Reality, so he must have had to essentially re-release it with a new ISBN
yes.
when he changed the title.
Yes.
Because I get
anytime
that question
you,
a lot.
You make a big, yeah, anytime you make a big change like that, every iteration, you know, I believe the percentage is 15%. If you add 15% material or you change about 15% of the material in a book, it requires a new ISBN.
Mm-hmm. That's a good guideline.
And in this case, he was fine. Most people buy a block of 10 ISBNs. So...
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the next slide, building your brand then, this is what we're trying to do, and it starts with the message of the cover of your book, that you can shape your clients and your prospects' perception by the way that cover is done, and then build your brand using that message to shape their perception of you, and you'll move ahead of your competition if they get a clear message that this is you, this is what your offer is, this is what you're all about. And that really starts with your book cover. Now, I want to go to, this is one of the bestseller books that we refer to that we've done, and this is for Robin Sharma, who is a consultant, coach in Canada. And the book was really to support that side of his business. And the first book, and you see it's series here, the first book is the one on the left, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And that is, I think, one of the best titles around, has been for a long time, because people are like, what in the world is that about? You know? And then you read it, you look at it, and it's got this really wonderful oriental etching kind of a thing that was black and white. We actually colored it in Photoshop. And then added the background of these very interesting oriental-type symbols that you see just parts of.
Mm-hmm.
The subtitle, I don't know if you can read it, it says, The Spiritual Fable About Fulfilling Your Dreams and Reaching Your Destiny. So it's actually a fable, but it's sort of a business book at the same time, because he was one of the first to kind of weave those two genres together.
Mm-hmm.
And this book now, the last we knew, is in over 40 countries around the world. We saw this cover in an airport in Mexico a few years ago. It was really cool. It was all in Spanish.
You know, cool.
But it's just a book that's got legs, and it has had for a long time. And he's got maybe 8 in the series now, I think it is. And the other thing about this is that within 2 months of this cover being done, he used it kind of like Bill did to get on the Dr. Phil show. But he had several publishers very interested, and I believe it was Prentice Hall that Prentice Hall or Random House, I'm not positive right now. But anyway, he got some very good interest from them. And it was amazing. And they bought the rights to the book, and he's had all those other books then published. And this cover, this was done probably 6 or 7 years ago at least, and they have not changed that cover one tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the strength of it. And that's a big-time publisher. A lot of times they say, you know, we like your book, and I see that you've sold some, but we're going to have to deal with the cover. In this case, they didn't have to because it was done so well initially. Okay, so what I want to talk about now a little bit is how, now that we know a little bit about, here's what's going on with the cover, and it has to have all these elements in it to get the response you want in just a few seconds. If you're able to do that, your business can just totally take off. And on page 11, there is an example of this. It's another one of the makeovers. This is a woman, Ruby Payne. She's from Texas, a former teacher. And she had this idea because of being in Texas, number one, where there is pretty mix, there's a good mix of culture down there, especially Hispanic and white. And she married a man from across the tracks, if you will, from a very, very poor family. And she was from a fairly well-to-do family. And in their relationship, you know, they learned an awful lot, as she especially, about how someone who's in poverty or comes from poverty views the world. And so as a teacher in a school, she was taking the things that she learned in her relationship and trying to teach things like that to the kids in her school and having amazing results in her class. And so fellow teachers would say, "What are you doing over there? You know, how do you make this happen?" And so she started talking to them and sharing information, and then she ended up doing a presentation to the whole staff at her school, and eventually, of course, school down the road across town all wanted to know more about this, and so she started going to talk, like at school PTA meetings and things like that. And eventually she got to the point where she was spending so much money copying her notes because people were asking for them that she finally said, "You know what, I just need to write a book about this so I don't have to keep doing this." So she wrote a book. It's the one on the left, A Framework for Understanding Poverty, and that's the original cover.
Mm-hmm.
She started just selling that cover, and people in the industry, in schools, call that the Red Book, Poverty Red Book. And it sold a lot of books. She sold several, a few hundred thousand books, actually. And I want to tell you how she did that. She got to the point where she couldn't do all these speeches by herself and presentations. So she picked a few people and taught them this information and said, "You need to go do this talk over here," and hired people and certified them in her information to go out there and speak. And at one point, she had over 2,000 people doing that for her.
Wow.
Which means this book, I don't know what the price was at that time, but they had that book with them. They'd go do a presentation, and virtually every person who attended, even if it was 20, maybe 50, 100 at a time, wanted to buy a book. And so now So she came to us and said, she started this company now, it's called AHA Process, about the whole issue of dealing with poverty. And she came to us and said, I need this book updated because there's people outside the field of education who are interested, and I want to have this be more accessible to a larger market than the Red Book. But they wanted to stay kind of true to the initial identity of the red, yellow, black, and white.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did the cover you see on the right and took away the clip art, used exactly the same words, added a couple of blurbs, but the author is there, all that, and then did this book. And now, as it says across the top, this is the updated edition of the Breakthrough book that sold more than 1 million copies. So doing this way and updating the cover catapulted the sales, and now she's well over 1 million sold for this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of that is on the strength of the cover, but, of course, she really knows what she's doing marketing-wise, too. As example, the next page, 12, these are two posters that we did for her using the book and the branded identity that they use when they go to educational trade shows and so on. They have a booth. They have all kinds of products and services now, and she publishes books and co-authors books with people that are attracted and associated with the same basic topic that she is. And then, as I was saying before, you know, this book was the foundation, and then she went to take that information and apply it in specific ways. So this is specific information about not necessarily just dealing with kids or dealing with your spouse or whatever, but this is about relationships. And they took a stab. This was before we started working with them, too, but they took a stab at this cover. And the one on the left, it says, "When the girl with the silver spoon loves the boy from across the tracks." And then the subtitle is "Hidden Rules of Class in Relationship." And so you look at that and you kind of go, "Ooh, man, you know, you can't read the title." The subtitle is lost, you know, and the background is way too vivid. And well, I'm not even really sure. I think that those are sort of ribbons or whatever that run across up and down.
Yeah.
But it's just, it doesn't get the message across. But if you read the title, you sort of get what this book is about.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't, other than the red roses, it doesn't have the emotion we talked about.
Yeah.
So we worked with our writers again on this one, came up with the title you see on the right, Crossing the Tracks for Love. Totally different. If somebody is in that situation or they know somebody in that situation, they're going to get that immediately, Crossing the Tracks for Love. And the subtitle is What to Do When You and Your Partner Grew Up in Different Worlds. And so it's like, okay, here's another thing like the feng shui. I totally get this book, what it's about, and they're going to tell me what to do if I'm in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very direct of what you're going to get from the book. And then this is one of my favorite designs that Kathy has done, because she got the idea that this is, you know, you're nurturing a relationship and there's two of you in there. So she found this photo of two eggs in a nest, and she made one of them into the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the two sides of the tracks represented in the nest together, and then you have this beautiful warm feeling of the color that's around it. It was that kind of whitish, sort of off-white nest at first, mm-hmm. and she changed all the color of it and everything, and then found this wonderful picture of the tracks going into a beautiful sunset and put it all together, and then the big scrolly L for the word love is just, it's just a perfect cover, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, here's the inside of the book perfectly represented on the cover, and I don't have up-to-date statistics on this one, but I need to get them because I think this book is doing great, too. And then, just real quickly, I'm going to go through several slides here because I know we're kind of almost done with our time already. But she also then was speaking about this. So we did a speaker's kit for her. This is the front of a folder that she uses. And it's not just Crossing the Tracks for Love, but she's working on concepts of crossing the tracks in business, crossing the tracks at school. And those three things right there have a whole downline of information that she can get to specific markets as well. And then the next one is just a representation of her one sheet.
Mm-hmm.
That's got what she talks about, testimonials, what things are included, that sort of thing. And then keeping the branding idea going, this is her stationery on page 16. That's her letterhead, business card. We do a lot of business cards and things like this for authors because they want to keep the branded look of the book when they communicate with people. And her business card has got her contact information, a picture, of course, on the front. And then the back, rather than leave it blank, that's real estate you could be using, we put both of her book covers together and then information, ISBN information below that so they can people get to look it up and find out more. And then a couple of quick ones, too. Makeovers we've done on other books that she's done with other people. Bridges Out of Poverty is a more of a community-based kind of a thing for professionals and for communities on how to utilize this information in a whole city and work together to make it happen. And so this particular one, again, the book wasn't doing all that great, but it wasn't powerful enough. So we use the same words and the same image even, but just reposition them to be a more powerful cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then
really
the next one.
Yeah. How these little changes can make such an impact. And seeing the befores and the afters, I mean, the befores are like a lot of book covers I've seen. So it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like you're coming up with off-the-wall examples. I mean, these look like covers that I have held in my hand and and thought, you know, this could use some improvements.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it's about. And, you know, it's unfortunate, too, because nowadays I can't tell you the number of people that just kind of go out there and say, I just need to get my cover done so I can start selling it. And if it's not done in the right way, it's going to be really hard. I mean, there's techniques you can learn nowadays that are amazing on the online and for marketing a book. But if you start out with something that's really, really good and it's crafted in the right way, you'll get a bigger, huger response. And this next book I want to talk about, page 18, this is another example. It's the one that they did, kind of similar to the poverty book. There's a clip art. There's a little color. There's the title. And we used the same title, basically the same colors, came up with a different image and positioned it differently. This book, they were getting ready to just, you know, put it on the shelf because it wasn't selling at all. And had sold a few in the beginning, but tailed way off. As soon as we got this new cover, that just picked up again. It's a great seller for them now, just because of the emotion that you see on the cover compared to the first one.
Yeah.
So can be a very simple change, but really big. Page 19, this is my favorite one. Maybe because I'm a guy. But anyway, this is really great because the first thing I want to tell you is that we designed both of these covers. So the story about this book is fascinating. The one on the left, this gal is a colon therapist by trade and education, really, really good at it. She used to be a stand-up comic as well. So there's an interesting combination. But her information is like cutting-edge stuff on how to deal with being healthy, having your intestinal system be healthy. And the book on the left was designed for a specific market, being health food stores, like old hippies, granola-type folks,
okay.
You know.
I can buy that.
Yep, and they totally love this cover because it's a little irreverent, you know. I mean, it's far from pooping when SH blank T doesn't happen. And then your colon or your life, the kick butt survival to your most serious health risk. And TurboLax is what it says on the thing he's holding in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
But so, and that book sold really, really well. So then here's where it gets interesting. Because it sold well, I mean, there's people out there, agents, distributors, publishers, are watching books and seeing how they do. And if they see one that has potential and it's selling well, they investigate it. And she had a distributor come to her and say, I see that your book is doing really well, And the information in it is really outstanding. But I have a market I think would want that information, but that cover is not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was more mainstream. So she came to us and said, I have this opportunity, and I want to create a different cover for my book. So we came up with the one on the right, Detox for Life, and still has got some of her humor in there. It says, your bottom line, it's your colon or your life, you know?
Yeah.
And she's got a really nice quote on the front from a very prominent person who supports the information in the book. The interesting thing is this book in traditional markets sold really well also.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside of the book, if you had them side by side and you page through, it's exactly the same inside. She's got cartoons and the writing is the same. Two different covers, two different markets selling the same information.
That's great.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is about 6 months ago, we got a note from her, and she said, I just wanted to let you know that the Detox for Life book, I was contacted by Tony Robbins, and he wants me to come to his events and talk about my book because Tony felt her information dovetailed with what he teaches about health so much. And
wow.
So she got him interested in her book because of this second cover and then also what was on the inside. I think he wouldn't have responded in the same way had he been looking at Far From Pooping.
Yeah,
you know?
Really. No, I don't think that would have caught his attention.
Yeah, so you never know what's going to happen with something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're getting really close to the end. I'm going to go really quick through just a few more slides. And is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, if we go over, if you're fine with it, that's fine with me. It's just a longer recording, you know.
Okay. Well, that's great.
People need to drop off, they drop off.
Yeah. Well, I have some great stuff for people coming up here, and I have some gifts, actually, that I want to talk about before we're done that I want to give everybody, so I want to make sure they're able to get that. But the next couple of slides, this has to do with an idea for how to sell a book. And again, it's a makeover. This one, not real different, but this is about retail, the world of retail, and how retailers and manufacturers are struggling with how they position everything within their store and how they present it to the market to be better at what they do. And she works with some big-time companies around the globe. And she wrote this, had a preliminary cover done, which is the one on the left, Pride, Passion, Profit, 7 Steps to Category Development. So it's much more of a very professional business book. But at the same time, she wasn't getting much traction with that. So she asked us for help. And the first thing we did, kept the same colors, as you can see. And then she got a really great quote from one of the well-known directors of the Harvard Business School. And that's what's at the top. And she has a co-author. But we wanted to get some life into this, so we just did it with typography. And so you see in the first one, the subtitle, you can barely read it because of the way it blends into the back.
Yeah.
So we pulled that out more, and we put each of those three words in a type style that matches what that word is about. Pride, passion, profit. And you can see the connection there just by looking at the letters. And so she got this cover doing really well, and while we were working on it, she was talking about selling the book and so on. I said, you know what, I have to tell you, I think this might be a great idea for you. If you go to the next slide, you'll see the book we designed is on the left. The book on the right looks different with a little arrow pointing to the top. There's a logo there, a company logo.
Mm-hmm.
It says Compliments of Compliance Networks, and that was one of her clients. And they thought the book was just the greatest when they first saw it or heard of it. And then she said, you know what we could do for your clients that you help with these kinds of issues? How about if we do a customized cover on my book, and then you either give it to or sell it to your clients? And they thought it was a great idea. Within 2 weeks of giving her the idea, her client put in an order for 1,000 books.
That's great.
Yeah. And so now she's got 4 or 5 other clients all lined up to do the same thing with her book. And then it's just it's not going in bookstores necessarily in this version. It's going specifically from one of her clients to their clients. And so they're going to buy in bulk. And she's got, like I say, 4 or 5 of these that are going to do that. So she's going to sell several thousand books within just a few months of it being produced with an idea like that. So I would encourage people to think way beyond the edge of the box about places where you could go to sell your book for folks. I've got one last example here, and this is probably one of the coolest ones, is as to how the brand and the image of your book can really add to what you're already doing. So page 22, Stephen Power. That's his real name, by the way, and he's a sales trainer. So Power Selling is the name of the book, and he's got all that wonderful stuff going on because of his name with Power Selling and being Stephen Power. And this is his book cover. A quick thing about that, too, whenever you're producing a cover and doing it at this level, you need to get lots of players involved initially about how the book is going to be sold, where it's going to be, what your market is. Certainly that's the biggest thing we need to know, is who are these people that you want to buy the book, because they'll relate to certain type styles, they'll relate to certain colors, they relate to certain images, they relate to certain weights of paper that the book is going to get printed on, whether it's a dust jacket or whether it has French flaps on a soft cover or whether it's a soft cover or whether it should be a home study course. I mean, all of those things you need to take into account. Who are the people that are going to buy this? Mm-hmm. So the design choices match what they're going to respond to. So here you see the cover, and I bring that up because we worked with a photographer who was taking his photos for this project and for his website. And that picture was originally taken with him leaning on a clear plastic tube, which we took out in Photoshop. And then it gives this real interesting, engaging dimension to the cover, because it looks like he's just leaning on the title.
Yeah.
Holding it up there, sort of. And we got a drop shadow on him that we created. So you can do all these things like that to create dynamism. And the other big factor is a lot of people say, I thought you weren't supposed to put your picture on the cover of a book, and especially if nobody knows you. And in this case, Stephen had several people who knew him. Actually, if you real quickly go to the next page, quote from him, he just says, I'm clearly in the training business, not the book business. The book is my vehicle. So his whole goal was, as it says there, he had spoken to 20,000 different salespeople over several years in his career. 80% of them used to come up and say, do you have a book? And
wow.
He didn't. So he decided to create one. But in the process, he realized, in order to be the expert, in order to get credibility and all of that, like we said early on, you have to have a book. But he said, okay, this book is going to be my calling card and something I can use to spread out to the market what I do. So his goal in the book was to not only get his information to people, but to brand him as the source.
Mm-hmm.
So as a speaker, consultant, person like that, it is possible and many times makes all the sense in the world to put your picture on the front. So if you see people, you know, like Mark and Jack that we've talked about, or you see Les Brown, you see people like that, the reason that they kind of got there is that they're promoting themselves, not necessarily just the book. And they back it up with consulting and coaching and speaking, and they're not just an author. So in that case, it really does work. So here's a little story about what happened to Stephen. He uses his book as a business card, so he sends it to anybody. He'll pass it out as a business card. The third thing there says, due to the book, he was on a plane at one point, and sitting next to a guy, they got into this typical conversation about what do, you know. And turns out the guy was the CEO of Sales Genie, which is one of the largest training sites on the web.
Oh,
he had asked for a card, and Stephen said, I don't have a card, but I'll give you my book. So gave him the book, and as a result, he got two referrals from this guy to companies that were interested in his type of service. One of them already had hired somebody, but because of the recommendation and referral they got, they canceled that contract, worked with Stephen. As it says there, that business was worth $300,000 to him.
Wow.
The two companies over a couple of years worth of work. So having a book can get you stuff like that just immediately. And another sort of thing down there, number four, he posted his book on Amazon like most people do. Through a series of events, one of his clients was speaking at a University of California branch. The professor in that class asked where he got some of this information. That led to Stephen, and now, as it says there, they have his book as a required text for a business course at the University of California.
Mm-hmm.
So a market he didn't even know existed. And as a result of all of that, his book now is a generator of passive income for him. Once it's produced and it's out there, people know about him, he gets orders. And it took him a while to get his costs back. He came up with all kinds of things. If you go to the next couple of slides, this is his audio book cover. You see we did the CDs, and the branded look to it all matches the cover. Oh, and I forgot, back on 22, that logo, Power to Be Media, that's his publisher company that he created, that handles this whole side of the business for him, of the products and services. So if you go back to page 25, some of the marketing things that he did, here's the poster is on the left that he sent to people with a free copy of the book to put up in their sales office, his top 10 tips for how to sell. He gave them coffee mugs. Down in the bottom right is a postcard that he used to send out to the 20,000 people that he had spoken for, saying, hey, here's my book. And he sold, I think it was like $15,000 worth of books in a very short period of time once he sent that card out. And then a couple of quick slides about, here's his website. Another logo that we did, Sales and Marketing Solutions. And the whole look of it, the illustrations, the colors, the type styles are all matching his brand. If you go to page 27, you'll see another page, another one of the photos from the photo shoot there.
Mm-hmm.
So being consistent with all the things, again, that start with the book, the type styles, the colors, the photos, the images, and the words, that is what helps build your brand. But doing it in this way, making sure the cover supports it all, is huge. And so we got the fonts and the colors all set with his website designer, and they did that, and we sort of art-directed the process in a way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of just really great things, and I realize now we're a little bit over. So I want to mention the things that we'd like to give your listeners, because we feel so strongly about this. And if they're working on books and they want to build a business and they want the book to be successful, there's a lot of things to consider, obviously, and we've just touched on a few of them as it comes to the cover. But if you go to page 28, these are the things we're offering to you, and they have a value of $597, but there's three things. The first one is a brief that we wrote about some mistakes to avoid when you're producing your book. And one of them, as an example, is don't ask your family and friends what they think of your cover.
That's a good one.
It's a huge mistake, because 99.9% of the time, they are not your target market.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask somebody, what do you think of my cover, they feel obligated to come up with something. It's going to be based on their like or dislike of books in general. They might say, oh, I don't like red. You know, why do you have red on your cover? I don't like red. But then you go, oh, geez, maybe I shouldn't use red, but everybody in your target market goes, red is the perfect color,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we tell people, don't ever say, what do you think? You should ask them something like, would you buy this book?
That's a good question. Yeah.
You don't qualify it. You don't say it's about blah, blah, blah. You say, would you buy this book? And then they have to go through that process of looking at the cover for a few seconds. Does it move them?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the back. Do they get it? And they would say yes or no. If they say no, and they're a member of your market description, then you got something to go with that, okay, this cover is not going to reach my people. Mm-hmm. If they say, yes, I would buy it, you say, why would you buy it? And they can explain what this is all about. So much better question. Would you buy this book?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, this brief is a list of seven different things that to take into consideration when you're working on your book. And please don't make those mistakes. You'll spend money that you shouldn't have spent, probably. The second thing is, I would be willing to, for your readers, because you're so great to allow us to come and talk with you today, or your listeners, I'm sorry, or readers, that we would offer a complimentary 30-minute consultation with anybody who would like to talk to me and ask questions about where they are in their book process, whether they have a cover already or not, doesn't really matter. We can offer some input and advice and critique kind of comments or answer any questions that they would have. And in a second, I'll tell you how to access these, but be happy to do that. And then once we do the consultation, I think it would be more effective then. We created this product called Cover That Book that you see there with the writers that I've referred to, Graham Van Dixhorn and Susan Kendrick from Right to Your Market. And it's a, excuse me, it's a two-hour audio, and we talk about the copy and the design and go into greater depth than what I was able to do today. Mm-hmm. But it also includes printable PDFs that you can access that are more some of the samples that we've shown today. There's more of those. There are checklists for things that you need to consider and the sort of timelines of how things happen and the order they should happen when you're going through the process. Templates for things like here the back cover sort of thing that I talked about that you can refer to and help refresh your memory, things like that. So once you complete your consultation, I can give you the website access to download that. And if you go to the next page, this is just real quickly how to do it. The first thing would be to take either click on your PDF. It should work. If it doesn't work, just copy this.
It does work. I tried it.
It does work? Okay.
It does.
Good. Okay. And you go to that website, and you'll get to the landing page there, and it talks a little bit about this same thing of what we're doing here. But down towards the bottom is a way for you to put in a date and a time that you would like to have your consultation, Tuesday through Thursdays, 11 to 3, and then the actual date on the calendar, if you would. And I would get back to you and confirm that, and we would be able to talk. I think that's it. If you have any more questions, Susan, or I'd be happy to talk to anyone out there. But I want to say thank you again for this opportunity today, and I hope the information was helpful for your listeners.
Well, I think it's great, and I think I'm going to be your first person to sign up for the free gift.
Great. Look forward to it.
If no one else, you're getting me. that's a really great offer, and I actually personally have a couple of books that I'm not sure what's going on, and even just having another set of expert eyes to look at the problem, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a huge thing. 'Cause when you've written a book, you're so close to it that you know it's really hard to get that perspective. And so there's a couple books that I'm thinking of actually re-releasing, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know there's a lot of us out there, 'cause as you say, the book industry is changing and. And maybe you've put out a book and either the market has changed or, you know,
mm-hmm.
your goals have changed. A lot of things can change in the time that it takes to release a book. So it's really interesting and sort of heartening to see those stories of people who really just kept with it. And I know another one of your clients spoke at the self-publishers online conference last year, Patrick.
Oh, Patrick Snow.
Yeah, and he had he just kept going with that book. He redid the cover. I think he said like two or three times. And
I think he's on the third cover now. Yeah.
Yeah, the one you guys did is just beautiful. In fact, I'm such a cover nerd that when he sent me a copy of the book and I, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Who did the cover? And it was like, oh, I know them.
That's great.
I think that, you know, people sometimes give up on a book and a book can be good, and sometimes it just needs a little different packaging. So.
Yep, that's true. I heard Brian Tracy say recently that you can have a product, he used the word product, but it applies to books. You can have a book that's got the greatest information in the world, and it's written in an incredible way that will make people weep when they read it, you know. If it doesn't have the right cover on it, people will never know that.
Exactly.
Never.
And that's I think, a really powerful example that, you know, some of these before and after, the before and afters really show how that can make a huge difference. And you know, even if you're a designer, and I mean, I've been doing graphic design for a long time, and I do interior layout, but when it's your own book, sometimes it's really difficult to have that distance and perspective. So I think
another thing that's occurring to me, we were talking about how fast the industry is changing, and one of the big things is the Kindle and the iPad and the Sony Reader and all of those.
Oh,
you, and even like on the iPhone, I mean, I talked to a guy who said, When they offer books for sale through the iPhone, the icon that you have to describe the brandedness of your book is 58 pixels square. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so to find a way that your brand can be accurately represented in an iPhone app or an iPad or a Sony Reader or a Kindle, that's an important thing now, too, because we are getting way more into the digital side of things than e-books and so on. And so brandedness and the appropriateness of a cover and with the title, subtitle, and the imagery, and these things, some of them are still black and white, but with the iPad, they're up in the ante that if you want to be there, and from what I see, people are flocking to get their books listed on the iBookstore.
Yeah,
because you can represent it in color, and that's a huge part about brand and a huge part about this emotional attachment that people can get. So that's becoming more important all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and it's just sort of an extension of how when more books started to be sold online, how cover design even changed. Just when books started to be little tiny icons on Amazon.com, and I mean those are like 200 pixels, so at least you could at least maybe see the title. But now when you're going down to 50 pixels, you really have to have a short title, I think, for one thing.
Well, either that or have a branded element of some sort that
something,
you can tell what it is. You know, you're not going to just rely on that one little icon. Of course, your marketing should encompass a whole bunch of things. But if people like chicken soup, you know, all they really have to do is chicken soup and the colors with that script type and then a word for what the book is about, like baseball or whatever. You should still be able to retain some part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, it's exciting business to be in, and we love it. And I think the last thing I would say to throw one more thing in is that we have this skill set that we've developed, you know, for learning about books and being able to do this kind of work. But our goal and our mission statement says we want to make the world a better place. And in order to do that, we have the skills to help people who are writing books who have incredible ideas and incredible information to share with the rest of the planet. And we can make a difference if more and more people have access to this kind of material. So we feel that we have the ability to help make that happen, that connection happen by the work that we do, so that the passion that people feel about their specific thing, whether it's feng shui or whether it's power selling, that you you can make a difference in the world, and the best way to make a difference is to have your cover be the way it needs to be to get that kind of response from people. It's just like we owe it to the people, you know.
Yeah, really.
To give them this information.
So that they'll notice these wonderful books, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I know we've gone way over, and at this point, obviously, we're kind of out of time, but I'd like to really thank you for taking the time to be here. And for those of you listening later, for more information about Hobie, you can visit the Dunn & Associates website, which is www.dunn-design.com, and that's dunn-design.com.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for being here again.
Well, you're welcome, Susan. Thank you so much again for the opportunity, and we wish everyone publishing success at the highest level.
Yes. Live long and publish.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
That's the motto of the Self-Publishers Online Conference. Live long and publish, everybody.
Okay, I've got my hands up in the Spock mode right now. Live long and publish.